You're listening to the Dayspring Church podcast.
I have been looking forward to this Sunday all week. I really have. And firstly, because we get to start our new series. It's the beginning of our new series, The Way, Resiliency in an Age of Uncertainty. That's quite difficult to say. Resiliency in the Age of Uncertainty. And so I've been really looking forward to kicking off. We're going to look at what it is to live our lives as disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ. But you know, the real reason why I've been looking forward to this Sunday is that I get to do this. We get to do this together as a senior team. And so, Kristen, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to see you, babe.
Yep, good to see you. It's been a whole 10 minutes since
it has. It's been a while.
Yeah.
And, of course, Russ and Joel as well. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. And so we're going to unpack, over the next 4 to 6 weeks, we're going to unpack just around this topic of discipleship and the way and what life as a disciple looks like. And we're going to start by reading this morning from Ephesians 4, and this would be our theme scripture for the series. And so let me read this for you. Ephesians 4, starting at 13, says this, "Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love." How good is that? "Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Amen. Such a beautiful scripture, such a powerful scripture. And so really, you know, we're going to answer a couple of questions together, unpack this verse together. What does the life of a disciple look like? We want to start, you know, the first question we want to answer is, what is a disciple? What do we mean by this word disciple? I think at times we can become familiar with using this term disciple and discipleship, and we have all kinds of definitions in our mind and that church has kind of crafted and created around this word disciple. You know, is it being in a home group? Is it attending a Bible study? Is it reading your Bible every day, praying every day? What does it mean to be a disciple? And I think, you know, one of the reasons why we read from that scripture in Ephesians is because I think this scripture goes a long way toward answering that question. Being a disciple is simply growing up into the image, into the full measure of the person of Jesus Christ. I think in its simplest form, that is the definition of discipleship. I love the word apprenticeship. Because it's not necessarily a religious word, right, that we're used to associating with this whole term, but it paints a perfect picture. We are apprentices, we are all apprentices and forever will be of Jesus Christ. Looking into, you know, the word and the life and the words of Jesus, allowing the Holy Spirit, who is our trainer and teaching and modeling us and leading us in the way. And so discipleship is movement. It is growth in the direction of Christ. And again, we get that picture of that in this verse in Ephesians. And, you know, our theme this year has been, "This is for freedom." To me, discipleship is the walking out, learning how to walk in that freedom. Jesus Christ has set us free. If you remember from the beginning of the year, has, not will, not might, but He has set us free, completely free. And so discipleship becomes the process of walking in, learning to walk in that freedom. Kristen, you want to share a little bit around what a disciple is?
Yeah, well, I guess discipleship for me, definitely you've used that word movement. Discipleship for me definitely has that word movement, change, yeah. Transformation. And I can't help but think of the disciples when Jesus called them. He said, "Come follow me." And when you look through the different verses that unpack that, it all says in various forms, immediately they left everything to follow Him.
Yeah.
I think of you know, the fishermen leaving their nets and their boats, and it says their father, they left what they knew, they left everything to follow Him. And so it's a leaving of everything to follow. And that speaks to me of physical things, like going where He asks me to go, picking up things that He's asked me to do, but also internal things, you know, like my ways of thinking, the way I've done my life. So it's a process of change and movement. And I guess it's a great question to ask ourselves, if there is no change or movement in my life, am I a true disciple? Because Jesus didn't ask the disciples, hey, will you listen to me? Will you agree with me? He said, will you follow me?
Yeah.
You know, transformation doesn't come with just agreement. It comes with the laying down and the letting go. The follow. So
yeah, that's a scary question to ask.
It is a scary question.
But it's a great question. Are we actually becoming more and more like Jesus? Russ, what are some of your thoughts around what it means to be a disciple?
Yeah. I'm ready to go.
For
me, my go-to verse, my favorite verse on this comes from the Message version, Matthew 11, 29 and 30. And this is what Jesus says. He says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace.
Yeah.
I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly. So there's so much of what Kristen was talking about there, about the journey, the walking. But I underline those words, walk, work, watch, keep company, and learn.
Second.
What a great summary of all of that. Mm. And I read up on the Passion Translation as well, and it says there, simply join your life with mine. Join your life.
Mm.
And you got to always read Brian's notes.
Yeah.
He says, or bend your neck to my yoke, the metaphor of a yoke that joins two animals to work as one. But he says there that the emphasis is not on the work, but on the joining together,
yeah,
on the doing it together. And we're really blessed by that. The focus is not on the work, but on union with Christ.
Yeah, beautiful. It is such a beautiful picture of discipleship. Yeah. So now that we've established, I think, what a disciple looks like, what we mean by this word disciple, apprenticeship, talked about formation, growth, all those things, union. I want to just, in the next couple of questions, just unpack practically the how of discipleship and what that looks like. I think speaking into this season, but also beyond this season, and what discipleship looks like for us doing this journey of growing up into Christ. And so I think, with normal life markers and structures, things like going to work, the daily commute, which can be, a big chunk of our day at times, sending the kids off to school, the separation of work time versus home time, all those things are, for a lot of us no longer there. What has spiritual formation, what does discipleship look like for you during this time? I'm going to start with you, Joel.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting for a lot of us. There's, the structures have been removed. Like, even the commute, sometimes we whinge about the commute, but oftentimes the commute can be this time of solitude where you get headspace and you can, process thoughts and all that kind of stuff. And that's not there anymore. You're just, full in family life and everything that's going on. And so we're really in this time where we have to actually make decisions to internally create those structures go, okay, I'm with my family now. I'm being present with my family. Okay, I'm in work now. I'm being, present with what I'm doing. And to not blend those lines and to go, okay, Lord, I'm giving you this time. I'm giving you the first, the first fruit of my day, the beginning, the end of my day, and we're creating those structures within ourselves rather than looking to externals to provide them for us, and sometimes that can take more energy to make those internal decisions rather than relying on something external. Sometimes it takes more energy to make the decision, that initial decision, but the benefit that you get from making that decision far outweighs the energy that you have to put in to make the decision on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. And, I think one of the things we've talked about, not just in preparing for this too, but just, as we've gathered for our senior team meetings, is how these structures and new rhythms of life as well, they look different for each of us. And we're very much aware that, for you guys watching out there, there are some that are, their life is not quite as busy as it used to be. But then there's the other extreme where, parents trying to homeschool kids. You know, for us, we've got three young kids that we're homeschooling as well as working full-time as well. And so managing the tension of all of those things. My kids are watching. You guys are brilliant. We love you. You're doing such a great job. And, you know, whereas we got Russ, whose kids are older and not necessarily having to deal with that part. Joel's kids are much younger than ours, and so it's a whole different story. Kristen, what is, you know, that the structure and rhythm and those kind of things, how has that played out for you?
Yeah, I think it's highlighted that we can often draw comfort from the structure, and we can rely on those things to tell us how we're tracking with God. Okay, yep, I've been to church this week, I've been to Connect Group, I've prayed, I've read my Bible, all of those kinds of things which are good, but it's those internal structures that you were talking about, and coming back to our intimacy with Jesus, that's what gives life to those disciplines and structures. And I think a season like this really highlights that for us. And it also makes me think, you know, of the disciples, because they didn't have those external structures like we do to get a sense that they were tracking okay. It was a brand new life for them. You know, they left everything that they knew behind, and every day was different. They woke up and they just followed Jesus's lead. And so I've been mindful of that, because my day looks different, and I perhaps was, you know, finding some comfort in my routine. And this has been a real season of waking up and going, okay, Jesus, you're in this swirl of activity, and I'm just going to find you in the moments every day. It's not always easy, it's super hard. Sometimes I really have to crank the worship music to keep my awareness that he is right here in the middle of it all. But it's bringing us back in this season, if we'll allow it to remain dependent and aware and be spirit-led above anything else.
Yeah, yeah, beautiful.
One of the things that I was reflecting on while thinking about this is sometimes with those internal decisions, we can get into this headspace of like, oh, I should, I must, you know, this is what I should do as a good Christian, or, you know, or whatever, to, you know, tick the box of like whatever it is, these shoulds. And I was just reflecting on obedience for the disciples began with beholding. Saw who Jesus was, and they were like, yes, you know, I want to follow you. And so, yeah, I guess we want to just encourage people on a practical level, if in that process of making those decisions, don't start with, okay, I'm going to decide to read the Bible, or I'm going to decide to listen to worship music or whatever. Rather than thinking about the act, be in a space of beholding. You know, read the Bible, beholding who Jesus is. Yeah. Listen to worship music, beholding who Jesus is. And then obedience is just a fruit of beholding. Because when we see who he is, he's just beautiful.
I love that. And, you know, I think one of the things that, Kristen, you said, like I think way back at the beginning, first week, was, you know, watching that expectation gap and not being too hard on ourselves when we're not meeting that. And, you know, the reality is, you know, school starting back, homeschooling, I think some of us are lucky to steal 5 minutes away for ourselves. You know, whereas some people are reading and learning new skills, you know, you're watching stuff online, they're baking bread and all kinds of amazing things. It's like, wow, that's awesome. And But I haven't even got time to slice a piece of bread and put butter on it. You know, how do you have time to bake bread? Bless you in that process. But I think, you know, we, you know, rather than, you know, judge ourselves, I love what you're saying, that the shoulds, I think, we can become slaves to the shoulds. You know, if it's 5 minutes, still 5 minutes away. And just as you get up, rather than turning over and grabbing your phone and flicking on Instagram or whatever, just wake up and just make yourself, somehow find a way of making yourself aware of his presence and inviting him into that space. So good, yeah.
I just wanted to say too, in a time of change, in a time where, you know, things seem a bit upside down, as they are, be looking to experience God's voice in different ways. Sometimes when we go through a lot of change, the way we used to hear God's voice may not be working so much for us, but be looking for new ways, different ways of hearing his voice. So there's lots of resources you can find on that, Verkla and others, and just be looking for ways that you can get some insight into what God might be saying to you through different means to what you usually went to, your different go-to, so other people, other books, other things like that. Because God is still speaking, but sometimes in our attempt to navigate all the changes, we find it hard to hear the way we used to.
Yeah,
and that's great. And I think also it's a bit of this season's a bit of an interruption, but it can also show us those places where we may have not purposefully but compartmentalized our life. You know, God speaks to me this way. I hear God this way, you know, in this uninterrupted time. And, you know, my relationship with Jesus is my prayer life, yes, and time in the Word. But my relationship with Jesus is my marriage and the way I relate to Aaron. And he is my parenting and the way I relate to my children. And so it's peeling back those, you know, places and areas where we may have compartmentalized it and allowing Jesus to hear him. Because he is moving and speaking through all of those different areas of our lives.
You know, to share a quick testimony on that, I was sort of trying to embrace the season and the changes and think of different things I could do. And I've been sort of thinking down one line, and I was feeling a bit nervous, a bit unsure of whether I should do it. And out of the blue, I got a text message from a guy I know, a friend, but I haven't seen for a long time. And he said to me, "I just want to remind you, I sent you a prophetic word on your birthday." And I thought, yeah, I think you did. I'll check back and read it again. And bam, it was right there.
Wow.
Exactly what I needed in this season. And I was so blessed.
Wow.
Because that's a big part of being a disciple, is getting feedback.
Yeah.
And getting words of encouragement and words of prompting and words of challenge from the one that we're following.
Yeah.
So I was so blessed by that. And so just keep your radar open. Just be checking in with Holy Spirit as to how he wants to speak to you in this season.
Yeah.
So that leads right into the next question we wanted to dig into. You know, what is the importance of listening in the process of spiritual formation, in the process of discipleship? What's the importance of listening? And how do we do this? I think we've perhaps already answered that question so well. But, you know, so listening to our own heart, listening, of course, to the voice of God, but then also listening to those around us that God has placed in our lives. So, Russ, following on from that, you know, what are some ways we can do that?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things, if you're one of these people who's really super busy at the moment, is to make time to hear your own heart, to make time for solitude and for silence, because your heart is trying to speak to you right now. It's whether you have made space for it. And I think one of the most important things is to make space for silence, for you to hear what's happening in your own heart. I think it's from that place that you can then start to speak to God about the things that are coming up for yourself. But if you never make time to hear, I mean, this is generally a good idea in all life, really, not just in this season, but for so many of us, I believe we get so busy and so caught up in the digital world and all that we actually never have time when we don't have something else inputting into our life. And to take time, especially now, to allow our own heart to find its voice is so important. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, I guess I want to share a personal story around this kind of thing. I had four things burning on my mind that I had to get done, and I was getting really stressed about it. Meanwhile, it's a Saturday, and my wife is looking at me going, "I want you to be present with me, and I want you to be present with, you know, our kids." And so I'm getting super stressed and I'm really torn between I really need to get these things done and I also want to be present, you know, with my family, and doing an awful job at obviously not getting any of those four things done and doing an awful job at the board game that we were playing, as well as being present with my wife and family. I was just getting more and more stressed, and I'm like, all of this is happening unconsciously. Like, I wasn't aware that all of that was going on until, this may be a little bit of an overshare, but I feel like it's helpful, so I'll say, that place of solitude for me is oftentimes the bathroom. I have, like, small kids. And so, you know, solitude, silence is not really a thing in our house.
But, you know, I must say that that's pretty lucky because us mums, sometimes this is an overshare. We don't even get to go to the bathroom by ourselves.
I feel that, you know. But, you know, sometimes I just close the door if I recognize.
You've got to have a lock on the door, right?
Yeah. but, yeah, I just, like, you know, just, like, I guess what I'm saying is all it takes is 5 minutes of going, like, God, what is going on here? what's actually happening? And just allowing just 5 minutes to go, oh, I'm getting stressed because ... And then, God, what, you know, what do you want to say about that? And, you know, that was yesterday. And he was like, you know what? Just stay up late and get those things done later so that you can just be with your family. And I was like, all right, cool. And I was like, stress, you know? So it doesn't take long, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And even if life is nuts, everybody has a bathroom.
This is true.
But it is important to listen to what's coming up. I think that's what you were saying. Yeah. Like, and taking stock and stopping in that moment. I think I've shared, I can't remember where I shared this with our young adults or something, but early on for me, I was feeling frustrated and I felt God ask me, well, why are you frustrated? And it was because, well, it wasn't a successful day. And just having that conversation with him, you know, highlighted for me what defined a good successful day for me. And so it's in those moments of stopping and having that conversation with him. It's a time where Jesus can speak into that and you know, redefine things properly back to truth. And but it's in that stillness. And I think for some people, they're afraid of the stillness because of what actually is coming up. It's a bit uncomfortable, and so they'd rather busy themselves. In fact, I was reading an article the other week about how people at the moment are experiencing something called a productivity anxiety, that those who life has stopped, they're anxious because, you know, they're not doing anything, and so they're busying themselves with DIY projects and all sorts of things. I was at Bunnings.
Have you been to Bunnings lately?
Yes, I did. Bethany and I were there. Everybody was at Bunnings, so much for social isolation. But I think it's because people are afraid of some of those things that are coming up, and instead of listening to what's coming up in their own hearts, they're busying themselves. So, yeah.
It's very true. And I think some people are better at this than others. I think some people are naturally just wired to stop and listen to their hearts. I feel like I'm surrounded by people who are much better at that than myself personally. And it's a skill that I've had to learn and continue to learn and be reminded to learn. But I think the reality is we are, you know, as humans, we are meaning-making machines. We're looking to make and find meaning and purpose. And if we're not stopping and being still and allowing God to bring meaning to what's happening inside of us and around us, then by default, we will find meaning from some other voice. Yeah. And, you know, you don't have to be in, you know, we don't have to invite other voices into our life. They're just there, constant noise coming in. And we will look to some of these things that are coming in through social media, through the news, through different voices, and find meaning that way, which will eventually lead to, you know, more anxiety and stress and pressure because it's not bringing us back to our true purpose, that one true voice that we need to stop and allow time to listen to.
Yeah, one other thing too is the importance of listening to significant other people in our lives, people like mentors, spouses, relatives, someone that you trust that is wise in the Lord and able to speak. I mean, how many of us in this season have made a phone call or something to someone and said, okay, now speak into my life.
Yeah.
Speak in. What do you think God's saying into my life? Not just as a prophetic experience, it may be that, but also just as a discipling, mentoring experience as well. Because I think that we get caught, some of us get very caught in our own minds, in the vortex of our own thoughts.
Yeah.
And we need someone to break into that and just start to speak into us.
Yeah.
And especially in this time of social isolation, it's really, really important to have someone or more than one person who you can ring up and say, just speak into my life right now.
I love that. And something that was happening probably, you know, more naturally, you know, maybe gathering on a Sunday or in a work or different social gatherings, we would get that input sometimes without even asking for it. But we have to seek it out intentionally.
That's right.
Like, we have to actually get proactive in this.
Because God will often speak to us through someone else like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm really missing, you know, some of the people coming up after church on Sunday and just giving prophetic words and encouraging and speaking into your life. And I love that. And it's almost like you knew what the next question was, Russell. Because we're going to finish off by talking about what is the role of community in our spiritual formation. And this is one of the things, you know, reading that scripture in Ephesians 4, we have to understand the context is the context of the body. And so growing up into Christ, maturity, becoming that mature person, the context is as the church, as the bride of Christ. So we do this together. We don't become mature disciples on our own. There's a reason why Jesus did life with the 12. And it was a growing together. And Paul says, you know, we will grow, talking about us as a community, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Again, speaking of the body of Christ. So Russell, again, just continuing on from that, what are some, what role does the community play? There's that voice that you talked about, but what other roles do you feel the community plays?
One of the verses that came to me was Matthew 12:34, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you have a moment like that, when you spoke something that revealed stuff that was in your heart, this is the time to engage with community and ask for help and ask for feedback as well. I mean, what I'm about to say is not easy. I understand that. This is tough stuff. But example, did that last comment of mine sound harsh? Asking someone that question, especially if they're family, can be tough, but it really helps us to grow, and it really helps us to understand what's going on in our own lives. And I think that's one of the keys to thriving in a situation like this, is to have the humility, the honesty, the vulnerability to say, that wasn't particularly that was a somewhat ugly thing that came out. Would you mind helping me sort that out? And talking to God about it as well. But Ephesians 4:16 says, speak the truth in love to each other. I wrote that. We will grow. So speaking the truth, and two, in love to each other, we will grow. So truth and love are required together for growth to occur.
Beautiful.
That's a powerful statement right there, isn't it? That we need truth and love to coexist, to cohabitate in our thoughts and also in our communication with each other.
So true.
Yeah, I love that you said humility, because it does take humility, you know, for that to happen. You know, how often do we hear, you know, and I've even said it myself, you know, me and Jesus can work this out. I'll just work it out. Me and Jesus, I don't need anybody else. But I know for me, some of my greatest moments of freedom or breakthrough has been when I've, absolutely started the conversation between Jesus and myself, but I've taken that to somebody else. And God, He does. He uses community. He uses the people that He has strategically, let's be honest, placed in our lives to speak truth to us. And it actually takes, I think, that it brings a level of accountability, you know, where we can actually begin to work out the truth that we found in our conversation with Jesus. It's in community that brings the accountability, where we're actually working that truth out in and through our lives.
Yeah, so good.
And it also reminds me that if you're the one who is being trusted to speak into someone's life, that you don't take advantage of that to score some points or to... no one would do that, would they?
Never.
No one would ever do that. What am I thinking? Sorry, retract that.
That's another church.
That's some other community somewhere where people think like that. But to really seek to speak in love to the person and to build them up.
Yeah.
As Paul's always saying, build one another up.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity, as someone has shared and been vulnerable, to seek God as to what to speak into that situation and to speak it in love.
I think also the oftentimes the fear of having, like, the, you know, you're asking the question, did that last comment that I said sound harsh? I think the fear oftentimes behind asking those questions is that it'll somehow, you know, damage the relationship with the person, or, you know, you'll hear something that will bring tension into the relationship or whatever. But so often the opposite is true. You know, when we share that truth with that person, As long as we're obviously deciding to love each other in that process and not be, you know, cruel and unkind to each other, but hopefully you've got people in your life that you're having those conversations with that have, you know, committed to love each other. But having those truth conversations deepens the love between you, because you have a greater sense of sharing your life, sharing your heart, sharing who you are, and it's sort of, I don't know, it's this beautiful kind of upward spiral.
That's right. It breaks something open when you say, you know, everyone in the room knows that was harsh. Yeah. Everyone knows that you've got some baggage there. Everyone knows that you're carrying some pain or something like that. But you took the initiative and said, I see it.
Yeah.
So community, help me.
Yeah.
Help me deal with this.
Yeah. And I think just, you know, in closing up, I think that perfectly describes the heart posture of a disciple.
Yeah.
We're not defensive and, you know, trying to protect ourselves and keep our hearts hidden. We're actually living with, you know, our hearts wide open. And all of that thing that Danny Silk talks about, into me you see, and that whole picture of intimacy. We're living with our hearts wide open, allowing others to speak into our heart. And instead of getting defensive, just inviting people to speak, inviting the right people, the right voices to speak and come alongside and encourage us to grow up together into the full measure of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, thanks for joining us, Joel and Russ. And I love how we can just kind of replicate a lot of what happens online now. This is the first time we met together, all four of us, for a while.
That's right.
And, you know, I'm glad that you chose to keep your distance, Russ. And
you say same for Joel then.
And same for Joel as well, yes, yep, keeping safe distances. But it's, you know, I just want to just honour Joel and Russell as well, just take this time for Chris and I to honour Joel and Russ. And quite often, you know, I mean, well, you see all four of us up front quite a lot, but, you know, it's, I just love that we get to do this together. And we invited Joel onto the senior team when we, you know, one of the first things that we did coming in, and but we inherited Russell. But, you know, I would choose him over and over again, and just love the dynamic of the four of us working together and gleaning off each other and doing exactly what we've talked about, keeping our hearts open with each other and you know, correcting each other when we need to, in truth and in love, and allowing each other to grow up into Christ. So let's just pray. And Russ, can I ask you to pray?
Sure.
And then we'll close out.
So Jesus, we commit ourselves to you right now. We thank you for this time together. Yeah. We just cry out to you and say, help us. We want to be your followers. We want to be like you. We signed up to be like you. And we know that your Spirit is empowering us to be like that. But we also know that we need to cooperate with what the Holy Spirit's doing. So we ask for help. Help us to be vulnerable. Help us to be open and humble. And help us to have a growth mentality and loving hearts at the same time. So in the name of Jesus, we bless our community. We bless every expression of community that we have. We say, go forth and be fruitful. We say, go forth and do well, thrive and grow in this season, becoming more and more like Christ, having Christ stronger formed in us as a people. We bless you, Father, for your empowerment and your presence in our lives as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more information on Dayspring Church, including upcoming events and conferences, you can visit us at dayspring.com.au.